With the zeal of warring ancient Greek tribes, we come to you today on this autumn afternoon. This is not Sparta, but it is the Michigan State Spartans edition of the Pick Six podcast. I'm Evan with Sam and Jimmy, and it is fall football time, Nebraska, Michigan State this week. How are you guys?
Happy for the solstice. You know, happy about fall. Really happy.
Isn't it an equinox, isn't it?
Sure. Yes. I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
I kind of like solstice. Summer, it's the summer solstice, the fall equinox. What's the winter?
It's winter solstice.
Solstice. Right. And then it's the spring equinox?
Yes.
I'm happy for the equinox. A big goblet of pumpkin something, pumpkin spice something when I get home tonight.
Your pumpkin spice latte guy?
Yeah. I like pumpkin spice. I like cinnamon spice more, and cinnamon matches. So I like cinnamon hot chocolate or like a pumpkin cinnamon, you know, not chocolate, but hot milk drink.
That stuff's good.
That stuff go down a little bit easier than that that intro that Evan just said. I saw you cringing over there.
No, I thought it was funny. I got it right off the top. Ancient warring Greek tribes. That's right. I thought you were going to say something about the movie 300.
Do you write those like in your head on the way here on the drive? How does that go?
You know, it's whatever seems appropriate.
The Battle of Thermopylae.
And the Athenians and the
Alexander the Great.
Yeah, whoever it might be. And this is one of those weeks. It's a big, you know, I mean, depending on how it goes, it could be a Greek tragedy if you're, you know, Nebraska and it doesn't go well.
But I just could be.
We got to set the tone right.
Greek tragedies are preordained, so maybe. Yeah.
So are you saying Nebraska's struggles might be preordained as opposed to something that they can control?
Greek tragedies suck because you can't change them. Shakespearean tragedies involve choice. Greek tragedies are preordained. God of the machine, what do they call it?
We get really deep and see you know, which one of those Nebraska.
Actually, if you think about it, you know, I mean, maybe Nebraska's, you know, they're under. Maybe that's why they're not getting the breaks. They're not getting the they're not getting the moments. They had moments like that against Oklahoma too, right? Like they get to that, they score that touchdown, and they're like, "That was a pretty good little drive they just had there." And then they, you know, out trots Kellen Meyer. And I usually put the score up, but I waited this time. Because, let's just see if they... And then, of course, it gets blocked and returned. And
somewhere
you're like, Greek, are you kidding me?
The Greek gods are up there laughing, saying, let's do this thing over here.
That's
just
right.
To throw another wrench into this thing.
Is Persephone one of the gods? She's a... Persephone?
I don't know. I'm kind of out of my depth here on Greek gods.
I get so mixed up between Greek gods and Roman gods. And
Greek, I think, is Zeus. I mean, that's definitely Zeus.
Okay, but
and
like,
you know, I'm thinking Clash of the Titans, and I know that happened in Greece. So, Zeus, Artemis,
yeah, Hercules,
Venus though is a Roman god.
What about Ares? Is Ares?
I think that's Roman, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, see, that's where it gets milky.
God of war, right?
Yeah, god of war.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, very good. I'm glad that we've got our philosophical standards and boundaries set here. Before we look ahead, though, let's start by looking back. Our big red idea today is this idea that what in the world did we just see? Nebraska loses 23-16 to number 3 Oklahoma, and man, it just felt like that's a game that whatever you want to take out of it, you can take out of it. If you want to be encouraged that Adrian Martinez had one of the better games that he's had as Nebraska quarterback and the offense moved the ball, you can do that. If you want to be discouraged that that they stalled in the red zone, that special teams and penalties continue, you can be discouraged. So the question I have today that we could kind of parse through, was the game in Norman a sign of progress or was it more of the same for Nebraska?
I think it's you kind of hit the nail on the head when you were describing the game script there. It's penalties. It's not finishing drives. It's weird special teams mistakes. It's the same old script that you guys have been watching a lot longer than me, but it's existed ever since Scott Frost and company came through. And it's on paper, it does look really good to hang with the number 3 team in the country. But I got to tell you, I don't think the number 3 team in the country played particularly well that day. And that game, it feels strange to say, Nebraska probably should have won that game. And that's a place that we've kind of been in. We've been stuck in that gear, whatever that gear is. I don't think that one's on your car. But we've been stuck there for quite a while. So if you want to look to that as progress, I would ask you what progressed during that game.
Well, the fact that Nebraska should have won the game, would that be progress?
Right, like would you discount?
Without context, sure. If you told me 3 weeks ago, Nebraska, you're going to come out of that Nebraska game. That
no,
Nebraska
I'm saying with
game.
Context. I watched 2018 Michigan when they lost 56-10. So, yeah, contextually.
So, like, if Nebraska.
The fact that they should have won the game is not progress from where they were 3 years ago.
From where they were 3 years ago, sure.
Or 2 years ago.
What about where they were 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? If we're looking a little bit, you know, not looking as far back there.
If Nebraska had won the game, would you discount it by saying, Oklahoma wasn't as good? Or does that just come into play because.
I don't know. Win's a win. But the thing about a win's a win is you got to get the win. Mm-hmm. So now I can poke holes in almost all day. I'm not going to poke holes in win. If they won the game, I'd be having completely. It's of course it's progress. It's the landmark win of Frost's tenure. It can mean so many different things. But they didn't do it, which is what they've been doing. So I don't know. It's a big shrug.
No, I understand what you're saying. I would say it's the first part of a 2-part movie, and halfway through the movie, you're encouraged. I think. Didn't think it was going to be a 2-part movie. Didn't think Michigan State was going to be a ranked team and 3-0. Thought they were going to be pretty bad, honestly. And they're not. They're better than bad. They're pretty good. And they're a 4-point favorite against Nebraska. So it feels like the first part of a whole. And not just because it's two road games in a row. It's this idea that you're going into a hostile environment. Dare I say Michigan State might be as hostile as Oklahoma. I think the fans will be juiced up there, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be 70,000 of them, I think. I think you're going to get a pretty good showing. So I think it's the first part of a 2-part movie. And the first part says, physically speaking, Nebraska went fairly toe-to-toe with Oklahoma. And that was encouraging. And then there's also the hero has his flaws. He's got a drinking problem. No, he doesn't have a drinking problem. You know what I'm saying? I'm using the movie metaphor here.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska has its flaws. It has a problem. It struggles with the same stuff that it has struggled with all along. And as a result, you walk away from that game. I remember writing about it after the game and thinking, and I wrote this in my rewind. Looking ahead, the things that Nebraska did wrong against Oklahoma will get it beat in the Big Ten. They play 5 ranked teams. They'll get beat in the Big Ten. So while it represented progress from, I don't know, a couple years ago, I do think Nebraska looks like a better team than last year or the year before that.
Definitely.
But at this moment, the game that they're about to play is so big that it really does have a get-a-win quality, like Jimmy's saying. Like it is, if you're going to be a good team, you actually have to win a good game. Not just beat Purdue, not just beat, squeak into a bowl game, but you have to beat somebody who's pretty good. And Michigan State, as it turns out, is a real gift to Nebraska because they're pretty good. The challenge with that is they're good enough to beat Nebraska, so it's a problem.
And by the way, to squeak into a bowl game, now you do have to beat a good team.
Correct.
So,
or at least what's defined as one right now.
Sure.
I think there is a small chance that Wisconsin is not very good. Their defense is, but their offense has got enough issues where by the time Nebraska rolls into Madison, that may be, and again, this sounds shocking because I have them ranked in my AP Top 25. We'll see. They have a small sample size against a pretty damn good Penn State team. But we'll learn a lot about Wisconsin this weekend at Notre Dame. If they lose by 25, that team may have some issues. But, yes, for now, it's 5 ranked teams.
Yeah, I think the thing that's so interesting about the outcome is it was a similar script to what Nebraska's done, but it wasn't against Illinois or it wasn't against, Minnesota. It was against the number 3 team in the country, Oklahoma. And it feels like, I tried to look at it like, okay, what about that game kind of represents what Nebraska's become? And it looks to me, the more games they have, the more snaps that pile up, they're just going to be a team that's prone to penalties. They're just going to be a team this year that struggles on special teams. The part that was different, that I wonder if it can stay different from what Nebraska's done previously, is Adrian Martinez is fascinating to me. Can he be that guy that he was against Oklahoma, who's making plays, who has all of the good Adrian and really none of the bad Adrian, none of the turnovers, none of the strange fumbles or interceptions. You know, that part's interesting to me. And then I think the defense, too, like no sacks, no takeaways of any kind, but yet they limit Oklahoma to its lowest point total in 5 years. I mean, is that just what the defense is going forward? And can that formula stand in the Big Ten when takeaways are king? Can Nebraska afford to get by with just getting some punts and being a bend but don't break unit? It's really interesting, and I agree with you, Sam. Like, it just feels like what worked against Oklahoma and what didn't work against them, how does that translate to Michigan State? Because the way that they play is so much closer to what Nebraska is going to see the rest of the way this season.
That's right, yep. I think there were some matchup advantages Nebraska had against Oklahoma in the sense if you take away Oklahoma's ability to make big plays, which Nebraska did, Oklahoma's a different offense. They don't love matriculating the ball downfield. Like, they want to go four plays and 80 yards. They don't want to do the, you know, 12 plays, 80 yards. That's not what they're good at. And so they only did it three times in that game.
Right.
And then they got the two-point thing. And how much different of a game is that if it's 21-17 going into the final drive? There's just a different edge there for Oklahoma because I feel like they might lose. Then they know if they give up a touchdown, they've lost. Not they're going to overtime. I think having the feeling of, well, even if we give up one here, we're probably going to OT. I think frees you up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma had all the checks on that final drive, and they kind of pinned their ears back. And Nebraska did not look prepared. If there was one moment in that game, other than the blocked extra point, where I'm like, ooh, that's the moment. Nebraska went out there, and they didn't look like they knew what to do. And, you know, at Iowa last year, I know Adrian Martinez fumbled the ball and all that, but they looked like they were ready to make a final drive. Against Oklahoma, they didn't look like they were ready to do that. The line didn't remotely hold up. Second time in a row, Illinois, it happened too.
To be fair, the expectations for a touchdown drive with 57 seconds left, like, it's...
Oh, they're really low.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Now, I get what you're saying. They folded immediately.
Oh,
Martinez
yeah.
got sacked immediately on the first play, got sacked two more times. Not great.
I wrote about that the next day. Offensive line, exactly. Yeah. It was like, but this wasn't even exciting.
Right. Right. Oddly enough, though, the point I was going to make before you brought that up, Sam, is I think Adrian's got more help now. That's something that I think I learned from that game. Xavier Betts beat one-on-one coverage deep down the field. Travis Vokalek being back definitely helped.
Yeah,
even if that means
absolutely.
On the wheel route, he was wide open. No one covered him. But it's the blocking, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so we've seen it a little bit from Samori Toure. We've seen it from Xavier Betts. I don't know what's going on with Oliver Martin, but he showed flashes earlier this season.
Yeah.
They got some guys.
They got some guys
who can get open, and that's so helpful. That's Adrian playing less hero ball. That's
right.
Hey, I can just drop back and someone will get open. That's a huge difference.
It is. And he's playing better too. He's manipulating the pocket better. All those things will be really important for this week because I think Michigan State's got a pretty good defense and they got a pretty good pass rush. So we'll see.
So before we get into Michigan State, I thought this would be kind of a good point in the season where you're third of the way through the regular season. Nebraska's got eight Big Ten teams coming up, like we mentioned, five ranked. It might be a good time to revisit sort of our predictions and whether that's based on how your perception of Nebraska has changed or how your perception of their opponents have changed. So they have eight games to go. You know, Sam, when we and Jimmy, when we put together our preseason picks for our special section, over these last eight games, we had Nebraska going 5-3. We had them beating Michigan State, Northwestern, Michigan, Purdue, and Iowa, losing to Minnesota, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. And I guess I'm curious, do you guys, if you had it to do over again, would you change any of those predictions? Or maybe, if not, what are some perceptions of those games that have changed the most for you after a month of games?
I think more has changed about my perception about the rest of the Big Ten than my perception of Nebraska.
Right.
I personally never thought Nebraska was going to beat Iowa. I thought Iowa's defense was going to be really good. It's special. It's better than I thought it was going to be. They are right now. I don't know if Iowa will finish the season as a top five team in the country, but that defense will keep them in every single game.
Right.
I mean, oddly enough, Ohio State, I know you guys were kind of after the Minnesota game, you guys, I wasn't feeling too great about Ohio State. I'm still not feeling too great about Ohio State. I don't know how you guys feel about it at this point. Defense is very, very concerning, and
yes.
I don't know, their offense even looked a little bit strange against Tulsa last week. So that part has changed. Michigan State obviously has changed for the better, but it's still kind of hard for me to evaluate because I'm still kind of at a, I don't know with Nebraska. I still, and maybe if you don't know by now, you're not going to know, but I still don't know. So I think in general, the rest of the Big Ten is better than I thought, which is a little bit concerning for Nebraska.
I think Ohio State has like a 2000 Nebraska vibe. Like they're still really good, but they have some weaknesses and you can start to see the cracks in the team. And you started to see that in the Silich era in 2000. It was like, yeah, they're winning, but it's not the same. I'll be curious to see if Ryan Day, who is now in what year is he in? His third year?
Third year, yeah.
Yep, we'll see. It feels like he screwed up in not firing his defensive coordinator after the Alabama game. Now he has stripped that coordinator of play-calling duties three games in. So I was right about that. I've been wrong about a lot. I actually enjoy kind of saying I'm wrong because it happens so often. No, I was wrong. I was wrong about a lot of these teams. I was wrong about Michigan State. Everyone else was, but I was wrong. They're better than I would have ever anticipated them being. They run a really nice offense. Their offense is pretty damn good. Little bit wrong about Michigan. Definitely wrong about them losing with Washington. They didn't lose that game at all. Michigan looks like a tough, good offense. We'll see where they go from here. I felt like I was right about Indiana. They're kind of who I thought they would be. I think I'm right about Northwestern. Minnesota, we'll see. The 30-0 win at Colorado is kind of what I expected to see out of Minnesota, but they weren't that before that game. Iowa's good. Wisconsin, we'll see. They've only played two games. Illinois is as bad as I thought they would be. Maryland's about where I thought they'd be. Penn State's a little better than I thought they'd be. I didn't think they'd beat Auburn. I know I said on the show, and I gave myself credit for it on the show, on the Pick 6 podcast here, but actually, as I watched the game and watched more of it, I'm like, yeah, Auburn's going to win this game. And maybe they should have. I don't know. There were some interesting calls late in that game. But, Michigan and Michigan State are easily the two biggest surprises. They happen to be on Nebraska's schedule. Mm-hmm. Those are the two games that you kind of like, maybe Nebraska can steal one of these. And maybe they can. I mean, maybe they can go up to Michigan State and win. I just thought when they were going to Michigan State before the season, it was going to be, 28-17 or 28-14 or even 28-10. I don't see that now. I mean, I think it's going to be tooth and nail, field goal to win it. Hopefully not a field goal. Hopefully it's a touchdown. 28-24 kind of game. I mean, I think it's going to be a good game. If Nebraska wins it, I think it's going to be close. I think Michigan State could beat Nebraska by two touchdowns. Mm. And if that happens, what are we talking about here next week? We're talking about every game from then on for all of October being basically must wins for Scott Frost. Because if any of us had sat here before the season and said, Nebraska's going to lose to Illinois and Michigan State and Oklahoma, and they're 2-3 after five games, I think we would have said Scott Frost needs to be checking his hole card because things aren't going well. Now, the truth is, if they lose to Michigan State, it may not necessarily be a bad loss. Illinois was a horrible loss. But they can't. This is a huge game. It's like the biggest game of his tenure at Nebraska. Absolutely huge, and we'll see where it goes.
Apropos of potentially very little, apropos of potentially a lot, depending on how this game goes, do you think we're going to see Connor Culp kicking the first field goal on Saturday?
I do.
I think so, unless they feel Brendan Frankie can go out there and kick one. Kellen Meyer didn't do anything wrong. I just maybe he gets a chance. I'm not sure. We didn't ask the question of Frost of why he picked Kellen Meyer after Culp. Because they got other guys on the team. Now, it wasn't going to be Pristup. He's the holder. But I was surprised that it was him a little bit.
Could have been Chase Contreras.
Yeah, they have other guys on the team.
Yeah.
I don't know who all they brought. How many kickers they bring? Four? Three?
Three, I think.
So it's Frankie's there, obviously. So I was a little surprised that it was a true freshman. And Frankie, he was a kicker at Morningside. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's missing kicks. He's missing kicks. These are not. This is not good. And these are not. You know, shank. They're coming off his foot and they're going every direction. And I don't know what you do about that.
Yeah, it has that 2019 Nebraska vibe where they're kind of cycling. I mean, they haven't cycled through any kickers really yet, but it, you know, Matt Waldock's not walking through that door.
Yeah, but some of those guys were, you know, no, God bless them, they weren't good.
No.
They weren't good kickers.
Sure, no.
Hope's a good kicker who's missing kicks, and the problem is that it's hard to fix that because when a good kicker starts missing, it's usually in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to... I mean, Nebraska was rolling guys out there in 2019 that, you know, probably couldn't have made kicks beyond 40 yards ever. So,
right.
That was comical in its own way. This is tough to watch. It's tough to see a guy miss kicks the way that he's missing them.
Sure. I guess as I look at the rest of this season, too, I agree with you, Sam. It feels to me like Michigan State and Michigan are the ones that look quite a bit differently. And, yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be kind of that first home big crowd for Mel Tucker at Michigan State where Nebraska can kind of sneak in there maybe in the middle of the day and come away with a win. And now suddenly, yeah, it's under the lights. There's a lot of pressure, especially after that Illinois loss. But this, I always thought this three-game stretch coming up here would be what defined the season. And it feels like that's more accentuated now with Michigan State. Northwestern appears more and more like that's something Nebraska should win by multiple possessions. and then you come back with Michigan, who has kind of looked like Michigan of, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago. Where
they look good.
Physical,
mm-hmm.
big, athletic,
yep.
know what they're doing.
I'd like to see them be in a spot where they have to throw the ball a little bit.
But they've been good enough where they haven't had to.
Absolutely, for sure. But I'd like to see it.
Sure.
Yeah. They're going to face, actually, we'll get to the picks in a minute. Rutgers is a pretty good defense. They're not, I don't know how good of a team they are, but they've been pretty good defensively so far. All right, 3-0, 2-1, 1-2, 0-3. You just named the three-game stretch. What's their record? Mini season.
Well, I think they're going to beat Northwestern, so it really comes down to the other two.
1-2, 2-1, or 3-0?
2-1.
Okay, Jimmy?
I'm going 1-2. Who do you think they're going to beat?
One of Michigan or Michigan State? I don't know. I think they can beat one of those two teams. I don't know which one.
Okay.
I really don't. Because as much as we're figuring out about all these other teams in the Big Ten, I still feel like Nebraska is one of the more unknown teams. You mentioned mm-hmm. Minnesota and Wisconsin as kind of those teams that haven't, you don't really know. Michigan is kind of that team too. I mean, Nebraska's that team. How do you, if you're looking at Nebraska, how do you stack up a team that, or size up a team, evaluate somebody that lost Illinois the way that they did, and then hung with Oklahoma on their own field?
I mean, the offense struggles. I mean, they pack up yards, but they don't score points. And I don't know that they can change that. I mean, I think Nebraska looks like about a 28 to 31 point a game offense.
Yep.
At best. At best, when they're at their highest. Maybe they can get above that, but you know they scored 28 against Buffalo, and so I think the offense is kind of a known quantity. Maybe it can get a little bit better, and I think we have a pretty good idea after four games of watching this defense what they're going to struggle with if they struggle, and what they're going to be successful at if they're successful. Struggle getting off the field, stopping teams that love to run the ball and do play action passing, and that love to just eat clock. And, you know, drain the clock and win 28 to 21. If you think you're going to get big plays on them, think again. But I tell you this much. This kind of defense can be very frustrating to watch. Because even though they're pretty good, those third downs become more and more and more heightened as the season goes on. And it's like, here we go. Here's another third down. Got to get off the field. They don't get off the field. Like, that kind of stuff can get demoralizing over time. So, I think we know a lot about Nebraska as a program. Like, we've watched this team, and I think we have a pretty good sense of what they're trying to do. The question is, how well does it interact with some of the other opponents? And we're going to start finding that out this week. I mean, Michigan State is a good opponent for Nebraska to measure itself against.
Well, let's get into that. And I think we heard about this after practice today, and I think this is going to be one of the main keys of the game, is how does Nebraska's run defense stack up against Michigan State and Kenneth Walker, who's been one of the best running backs in the country. Michigan State's been a top five rushing team to this point. So I just wanted to throw out a couple things here. It's been interesting to see the caliber of rushing offenses that Nebraska has faced in the last few weeks. It started with Illinois, and then statistically it's gone up with Buffalo, and it's gone up again with Oklahoma, and now it's going up even more in Michigan State. And
right.
What I think is interesting about this matchup is, and I think you guys would agree, when you looked at Oklahoma last week, it felt like they could have run the ball more, but it really wasn't in their DNA to do it. And they were more of kind of an edge rushing team. They wanted to get around on the edge. They wanted to use their speed.
Right.
Michigan State is going to come right at you. And so do you guys think that is a good matchup for Nebraska, that kind of the right at you, black and blue, between the tackles style rushing offense against Nebraska's defense? Is that a good matchup for Nebraska, or do you guys worry that might kind of flash back to Minnesota last year where it results in big busts and maybe they're not ready physically to take that kind of a beating?
I think stylistically it's definitely a much preferable matchup for Nebraska, because Nebraska's defense is much stronger than it is fast. Oklahoma could get the edge because they had holes, but also they can outrun, those Oklahoma skill players can outrun Nebraska's defenders. Whereas Michigan State, I mean, Kenneth Walker, he's first in the country in rushing. He's second in the country in yards after contact per carry. So he's, even if you know where he's going, that's only half the battle. But at least you kind of have an idea of where he's going. You know, DeAndre Thomas was saying today that it's pretty simple. As long as everyone just stays in their gap, they'll be okay. Easier said than done, obviously, when Walker's as good at the cutback stuff as he is, and as explosive as he is. But, stylistically, Michigan State is definitely, and they've all been saying it all week, we prefer the guys who run right at us.
I think Kenneth Walker, if he gets 5 yards, he's really hard to slow down, because that's a guy who, once he gets his momentum going one way, he has a really good ability to cut it back, and he's got good vision, and so he does a nice job of setting people up. He's got a good cutback move. They have a good cutback play. I feel like Miami, they took advantage of that, and I don't know that Nebraska is going to allow that. Nebraska is a little slower to go. They do a little bit more with their inside linebackers that makes that play a little harder to execute against Nebraska. But then again, you go back and you watch him against Northwestern, and he did it there too, against a defense that is kind of slow to go and can do some of the things that Nebraska can do. I think it's pretty concerning. I think you have to be able to get him on the ground within 1 or 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. If you get him more area and more oxygen, he's going to do some damage on you. And he does not go down with the flying couch tackle. And Deontay Williams is really good at it. I mean, he does a really nice job of angling and hitting his landmark and getting under a guy. But that's a hard thing to do against Walker. He's pretty durable in his legs. And so it's going to be tough. I think they're probably going to break a few. It's going to be a poke through. It's going to be a situation where he's running, he pokes through, boom, it's 30 yards. And whether or not it becomes a touchdown is whether or not Deontay Williams or Miles Farmer or Markell Dismuke gets him on the ground. So I think it's challenging in that way. They're going to run some end around stuff, what they call orbit. An orbit motion is what it's called now, satellite motion, whatever. It's a guy that comes around the quarterback so you've got a downhill give, and then you've got an orbit motion coming around. They like to run that. That's a play that Michigan State historically has run with their offense, so they'll probably throw one of those in there. And then they've got a nice screen game. I mean, they've got a nice pass game off of their main run. So we'll see. You know, I think it's going to be tough for Nebraska at times, and they're really going to have to do a good job of tackling. What I will say is they play other teams in the Big Ten that do this. So the Iowa, although they have a different scheme, Iowa has a lot of cutback runs. Wisconsin has a similar scheme to Michigan State. So you're not going to go into this game going, well, this is something we haven't faced, like the triple option. They're familiar. And in theory, they should be okay. If they hold a Michigan State to less than 150, I like him to win the game.
I would to push back a little bit there, Sam. It is, sure, a lot of Big Ten teams like to run that cutback stuff. But like you were saying, there's a little bit more window dressing to it with Michigan State. There's more
Wisconsin has the same amount.
Yeah, there's more stuff to look at. And sure. Particularly,
but Wisconsin has the same amount of window dressing. They do. They run very similar schemes. Wisconsin runs a jet sweep with the guy under the center. They run the satellite stuff. The window dressing stuff is not – it's hard, especially when the running back is as good as Walker is.
Yeah, that's what
but
I was.
Nebraska is used to seeing it from Wisconsin. Iowa doesn't do it much. Minnesota kind of runs out of the shotgun, and they run that, you know, whatever you call it, the slushy inside zone where they kind of, you know, whatever. But they'll be all right, I think, in schematically. The challenge becomes – Michigan State's going to slam hard down on guys. They're going to try to push guys to one side, and then whoever's on that back end has got to tackle. And they're going to bring they're going to bring tight ends across and all those things. I think they'll hold up okay. I think the question becomes, can they get to that guy before he gets to the 5-yard mark? Because if he gets past there, then it's kind of like tackling Divine Ozigbo. And this guy's better than Ozigbo, but you remember how Ozigbo, once he got past the line of scrimmage, was a good player.
He
was very hard to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Or Imani Cross. This guy's better than both those guys. So that's the key. Get him on the ground early. They may sell out a little bit. Miami tried that. Miami brought guys upfield and tried to get the ball out of his hands and force the quarterback to do the work, and didn't really work. He was able to make plays, so... There's ways to get a ball out of a running back's hands, but you've got to be able to execute it. We'll see if they can.
I just think it's so fascinating thinking back on the OU game because, we said it when we were in the press box there, why not start running the ball if you're the Sooners? Because they were able to move it, and in some ways that was a good matchup for Nebraska because they're deep in the secondary, they're experienced in the secondary, and they were able to hang with those receivers, and they were able to thwart Spencer Rattler on a lot of the deep balls. They didn't have any explosive plays, but a lot of that was just OU's kind of stubbornness or lack of desire to run the ball. They wanted to be a passing team, that explosive team that we talked about. And so to face a team that wants to run, that really is averse to passing, kind of like you talked about with Michigan, Jimmy, like, can Nebraska slow those guys down? And I think the last time, in my mind, when I think of a team that's done that recently to Nebraska, it was Minnesota last year.
Right.
It was shorthanded.
Absolutely.
They didn't want to run the ball. I'm sorry, they didn't want to pass the ball. They wanted to run the ball, and Nebraska couldn't stop them. And part of the whole north-south style of running means you're getting through that line quick, and that means if you're in the wrong gap, that's going to go for a big play, whereas some of those edge runs that OU or whoever else might do, you can kind of come over and fill in, and those aren't going to break for those big chunk plays as much. So I think it's a really a telling game for Nebraska about where it is in terms of its gap assignments, its integrity in that regard. And if it can bottle up Walker and limit those big plays, I think they're in good shape. But, man, if those 5-yarders turn into 30, 35, or house calls or whatever, they're in for a tough one.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, it could very well be 10-7 at halftime, and you look at the game and you're like, yeah, this isn't going the way Nebraska wants it. Or you could look at the game and go, this is kind of what Nebraska wants. They just have to execute better. Like, you'll be able to tell based on what Michigan State's doing, and if Michigan State wants to stay on the field, Nebraska wants to get them off the field. If Michigan State stays on the field for, 19 or 20 minutes in the first half out of the 30, that's a problem.
Yeah.
It's not where they want it. So we'll see.
How about on the other side of the ball? I mean, I think this is maybe the biggest key to the game, but how about Nebraska offensively against Michigan State's defense? What's the important thing to watch this weekend?
Well, I think this is where the offense can help out the defense. Just keep drives alive.
Mm-hmm.
Give the defense a chance to rest, because when they're in there, they're going to be pounding hats on other hats. And, we have no reason to believe at this point that Nebraska can consistently run the ball against anybody. So, you know, manufacture some quick passes to replace the run game and just try to, Martinez scrambles. Those will be useful. But, they're down a running back. The offensive line is, it's to the point where basically when they, for them to successfully run the ball, they kind of have to telegraph they're going to run the ball. They kind of have to throw these big bodies onto the field. They're playing Teddy Prochaska.
Yeah, when he's on the field, you kind of,
he's like, yeah, oh the left, the ball. The left tackle is playing tight end. Okay, let's get ready for this. And that's not a place where you want to. If you can make it work that way, okay, sure.
Maybe that's a
go nuts.
Like and, we did Teddy at number 46.
Right, yeah. Right. And so and if it works, sure, that's great. And, right. And you can, by the way, you can. That's probably part of the reason why the Vokolek wheel route worked so well last week is because Oklahoma got used to seeing these big guys on the field and they're thinking run the ball, and Vokolek ran all behind all.
Yep.
Of them. So you can do stuff out of that, but you are so much more predictable when you're doing that kind of stuff. And they just, I don't, they need to survive. They need to keep that time of possession even, I mean, ideally in their favor, but the way Michigan State runs the ball, even it would be a victory, in my opinion.
Derek King, who is the quarterback for Miami, good player, I think. He had 4 turnovers last week, 2 interceptions and 2 fumbles. And, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Martinez, but what I will say is that this is a team that essentially forced Miami to be one-handed very quickly. They took away the run game. Miami couldn't run the ball. And then, you know, I mean, Derek King would have plays, but then he would give it back on turnovers. Nebraska has to try to avoid that. They have to try to avoid situations where, you know, it's Adrian Martinez only running and scrambling around. They have to find... This is where you're like, hey, let's find a workable run game, you know, 100 yards. 100 yards would be good. It does, you know, they run the ball, you know, 32 times for 115. It's not great, but maybe that's good enough. That kind of deal. And, you know, you remove the sacks from it. If you can run for 110, 115 yards, maybe you can throw it for, you know, 250 and you pull out a win. I mean, I'm excited to watch this game because I feel like this is the first time this year, A, that I feel really good about what I think of Nebraska and what I think of their opponent, and B, it's a huge game. Like, the players know it. The coaches know it. They got to win this game. They have. If they don't win it, the season gets very... intense very quickly, because then it's like, well, now you're down 2 wins that you thought you were going to have, or at least the fan base thought you were going to have, and now that you're down those 2, you better find 2 others. And where are the 2 coming from? And I would agree with Jimmy, probably not coming from Iowa right now in my own mind. Now maybe that'll change. You never know. I mean, they could have, Iowa's been known to have a bad stretch of games,
oh, yeah,
where and their formula works and then they play somebody and they lose. So, like, maybe I'll change my mind, but for the time being, Iowa looks pretty tough.
And like I said about Michigan, Spencer Petras is down 10-0. Not feeling great. Not feeling
right.
Great about him.
Right.
The other thing about when you look at the task ahead, too, I went back and checked, of all of Nebraska's wins under Frost against FBS teams, the best wins came against teams that eventually finished 7-6. So they played
Michigan State.
Michigan State in 2018 and Minnesota in 2018. Both right. Finished 7-6. Those, by final record, are the best wins that Nebraska's had under Frost. They haven't beaten a top 25 team of any kind. So when you look at the challenge ahead, you're essentially saying you need to have multiple victories that will be the best that Nebraska's had under Frost the rest of the way to make a bowl game. It's a tall task.
That'll open your eyes.
Let me ask you a question, Evan. You've covered this team the whole time with me. Can you allow yourself to look back on 2019 and 2020, big picture here, and say to yourself, things were so dysfunctional that we almost have to have grace for the things that were not achieved during those 2 years?
To a point, yeah. I think so. Well... So part of this is like the whole year two idea, this idea that everything takes off. The best coaches, those teams take off in year two of wherever they are. One thing I've often thought about with Scott Frost's teams is that when he took over in 2018, it was the first year that you could have those early recruiting classes. And that, I think, makes a big difference. They had 3 weeks to get that first class in, and you essentially, right. You can't count it. The 2019 group, You know, they redshirted all but, I think, four of those guys in that entire class. And so they kind of delayed things again there, knowing that they had more of a runway to build things. And then COVID hits, and again,
let's say they didn't handle COVID as well as they could have. I don't think they did.
You don't think they handled it as well as they could have?
No, I don't. I think they would say in hindsight that they would have wished they would have done some different things.
They brought back the players too early would be one thing.
I think they would say that. I believe that would be said, and I think there would also be a sense of, again, this is disputable matter, that maybe embroiling some of the players in a lawsuit was not, in the long run, the most healthy thing do for anybody. Because there's an argument that Nebraska brought him back. I don't believe it. I'm not trying to be rude to any of those players or their parents or any of that. I believe it was Ohio State. I do. And their parents and their players and Ohio State's desire to play for a national championship and their doctor get inserting himself in that got the league back. But I don't want to get sidetracked there. The point being that I could make an argument that Nebraska's back to where it was when it ended the 2018 season, and that the things that happened in 2019 and 2020, although in many ways on the head coach, if would people view that, with the powers that be view it with, you know, grace of saying, this is what happened in those 2 years were really, really bad, but they were the byproduct of a guy who is still learning as a head coach.
What are you talking about from 2019?
Was a very dysfunctional team.
I mean, in terms of the leaders and the transition.
The Maurice Washington stuff.
Sure.
I mean, that was a mess, and it was a dysfunctional team. Like, it just wasn't. They had a lot of, you know, I think in some ways more dysfunctional than 2018.
I agree.
I really believe that. I think the thing that they had, and we're getting off on a rabbit hole, but I think it's an important one. The 2018 team had Gerald Foster and Luke Gifford and Tanner Farmer.
Strong captains and leaders.
And they had some guys. And they had a freshman quarterback who played like he played free. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't give a shit. And I don't mean that negatively. Like, I'm going to just go and ball. And then everything else that happened after that, it felt like there was the 2019 team had a huge weight on its shoulders. There was mass dysfunction with Maurice Washington, which they did not handle well.
They were preseason top 25, which they felt like they didn't want.
Right. You know, and then it's, you know, shoot, it's, you know, after that season, I think it was in, you know, I mean, it was the OC left and they had all that mess with the day that the old OC is said he's gone, 48 minutes later, Matt Lubick's got the job. Mm. It just felt dysfunctional. And then 2020 went the way it did. And I think there's things that Nebraska could have done differently and should have done differently. I suppose what I'm saying is that if they lose on Saturday, I think there's going to be impression among the fan base of, well, now we are really tired of this. Enough. And it's going to be this, like, you lose Northwestern, you may, you know, that's it. I'm just curious to see if that's actually the perspective of the powers that be. Trev Alberts said he doesn't care about wins and losses. It's not about a number of wins for him. So what, you know,
well, the other I'll be thing curious I think to of see. Is what, you know, the OU game, there's really only one game under Frost that you can compare that to. And that was 2018 Ohio State.
Right.
Where they went on the road and they surprised people and they hung tough. And
they looked like they had
late.
A plan to win the game.
They
not
did.
Just, you know, fart around or, not fart around is the wrong phrase, but, you know, the 2019 Ohio State game, they didn't look like they had any, well, we're just going to get overrun by a great team tonight.
So the way that 18 season ended, It did end with some momentum. They felt like they figured something out. They found confidence in that loss to Ohio State.
But they also looked good.
They did. And so I'm curious, and they made mistakes in that game too. There was the special teams play that goes down in infamy from that game. But does that momentum from OU carry on into Michigan State, or does this become another thing where you fall back onto the fragile psyche of this program where, hey, they felt overconfident from it and they fall back into all the same old stuff that they did?
Yeah.
I agree. It feels like a two-parter where we saw that sign. Can they get a foothold and continue on?
Yeah.
Or is it a one-off?
And I'm not making an argument for anything specifically for Frost. I'm just saying at some point we have to introduce that idea because I think that idea is out there. And it's not a Homerism kind of thing. I think the powers that be, the people in that structure, are like, we don't know what the hell was going on for the last 2 years before we started leaning into this. And there's maybe not an impression of we're on the front, we're on the back end of the evaluation, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, now maybe that's unfair to Bill Moose. It probably is. But I still think there's a sense of we don't know what's been going on here. And what's been going on was not good. And I would, and I think you would agree that what we saw in 2019 and 2020, we'd have these car rides, the frustration I would show and like the way they were running things.
Sure.
Like, what the hell are they doing? Like, if I don't feel that this year, at least I haven't yet. And they've done some dumb stuff on special teams, but I haven't, but some of that stuff is out of their control. The kicker is missing the kicks. I don't know. Well, I'm just curious to see because the operation feels better right now than it did in any time in 2019. At any time.
I find it interesting that we're having this conversation 20 minutes after we had the, if they lose to Michigan State, it gets tense.
It does.
Conversation.
It does get tense because the fan base is, they're ready. The fan base is tensed up.
Okay.
Absolutely. And of course, there's a tension between where what we've been watching for the last 4 years, 5 years, but what we've been watching and the impression of why we've been watching that. And I'm just saying that maybe those two things don't. People may be surprised at the gap between them.
The other thing I would say, too, is Saturday felt like more like a Big Ten game than it did a Big 12 game. And Nebraska right. used to have that personnel as a Big 12 team where they wanted to run and gun and shoot out. I mean, 3 years ago, Nebraska would have done that. That 2018 Nebraska against Oklahoma this year, you know, those scores would have been in the, you know, 40s and high 20s or 30s. But it wasn't that way. And so I think that's the other thing that's interesting to see as this season goes on is how has Nebraska continued to adjust to its league. I think defensively they absolutely have, in how they've recruited, you know, bigger guys, and how Chenander said it himself about how he's adjusted to the league and how it's taken a couple years to figure out how you do that. Scott Frost starting to defer on kickoffs and trying to
right.
You know, minimize possessions against Oklahoma. I think all those signs say they're settling into their new league. It hasn't happened as quickly as fans have wanted it to, but I think that's something else you have to consider when you talk about urgency of this season. Is this staff, you know, however long it's taken is how long it's taken, but I do think they are settling in to be more competitive in their league than they were in 2019 or 2020.
Do we think it's a necessarily positive thing that they're adjusting to the league instead of the league adjusting to them? That's not what they wanted. The plan was never, okay, we're going to become
ideally,
this power Big Ten team. That was not the plan. That mean, if you've changed course there, that means your plan didn't work.
Yeah, ideally they would have wanted.
Sure, it's good to recognize that. It is good that you recognize that, but it's bad that it happened. And to Sam's point, maybe that's another thing where, okay, you kind of had to change courses midway, so we do have to change our evaluation track here because you're playing a completely different style of football now. But again, you were hired to do the one thing, and your one thing didn't work. So
He wasn't hired to do that. He was hired. He was hired because he's him.
Right. But
he had said, I'm going to come in here and run a Big Ten offense, they would have said, well, then we don't want to hire you.
That's true. But he was hired with this one thing in tow.
Yes.
And then he had to change it.
Yep.
Rephrase.
He did. No. It's absolutely true. Like, it's there's really one team that does it, and that's Ohio State, Penn State to some degree. It's hard. I guess what I would say, if they get a different head coach going forward, let's say in 2 years or whatever, next year, it's probably going to be a guy that has an understanding of the league that they're entering. And I do agree that I think Frost, you know, was probably a little too whatever about that. And he did. He said it right at his first press conference. You know, when he said it, I was like, okay, we'll see. And incidentally, for, you know, in 2018, it looked like that was going to happen. And then it just got, we'll see. Like, I just have a sense of, like, this is going to be a really interesting discussion over the next however many weeks. Because, you know, I'm going to pick them to actually beat Michigan State. So I think they're going to win. I could be wrong. But the discussion that we're going to have is going to be interesting, and it's going to be nuanced. Who are the coaches on the team that seem the most urgent and the most whatever to you?
Ryan Held.
Mm-hmm.
Would be one.
Quarterback coach?
Quarterback coach.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a reason for that. I think those guys are the quarterback, the line.
Sean Becton.
All those guys, sure. they need to get it in gear. The offense cannot function. And Scott's the coordinator of that. I get it. But the offense can't function scoring, you know, 22 and 16 points, 19 points a game against Power 5 teams. But you don't, you know, we talked to Chenander today. Chenander looks, I mean, he's worried about the game, but he didn't. There's not that doesn't matter. There's not that energy.
Right.
That sort of weird, intense energy. I don't get that off of Tui Oti either.
No, Tui Oti was confident in his guys today.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So I think there's a, you're starting to see a little bit of where I think, I guess what I would say is that I think Scott Frost in some ways could be detachable from his staff.
Well, how
that
about
they might, you know.
How about Luke Reimer saying that the one of the defense's mantras is put out the fire? That's not what you wanted.
Well, that was in reference to some of those quick change situations.
And why did those quick change?
I get it.
What happens when there's a quick change and then the defense
sure.
comes
I think Jimmy's probably
somebody else messed up.
He's a little bit onto something here in the sense that I do think that defense
I'm not saying the defense has a dartboard with Matt Lubick and Scott Frost's face on it in whatever part of the locker room they hang out in. I'm just saying that is telling.
I think there's a condition. There's a conditioning there of understanding that the offense has been, and honestly, special teams has been mistake prone. I mean, when you have 3 weeks in a row where someone's going back to return a punt that you just forced and they can't figure it out and you got to go back out there. Well, I guess they didn't with the safety, but well, they kind of did. You got to go back out there. You'd get a little cynical, little condition.
Incidentally, we're talking about Nebraska adjusting to the Big Ten. The defense is exhibit A for that. I mean, that whole plan for that unit was to get those tackles for loss, to get the takeaways,
havoc.
To give it back to the offense,
yep.
so they could score a bunch of points. And what does it become? Put out the fire. It's become, you know, let's get us off the field so the offense has another chance because
right.
they're going to need another chance. I think that's absolutely emblematic of how Nebraska's transitioned in the last.
And
nothing
is just get the special teams right,
man.
It seems so simple, you know? It really does.
Seriously.
And to your point, they go from turnover, create havoc, to now it's kind of like, sure, they still want that. Everyone wants that. But the idea, I mean, it's bend, don't break.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
It's a nice little point
prevention.
Just
don't give away the game. Yeah.
The problem comes in when the other team eats 33 minutes off the clock when in the process of doing it. Because then what happens is it puts pressure on your offense to match it. Nebraska's offense hasn't matched it.
Go to picks.
Picks. I gained one last week. I don't know exactly if I've got it in my thing here, but I gained one.
Scorer always wins.
I went 8-4, and you guys went 7-5. So, what the upshot of that is I improved to 21-13. Evan, you are 3 ahead of me, so you're 24-11, and Jimmy is 25-10. I believe. I think that's how it works. No, that doesn't add up.
I was a game ahead last week.
25-9.
25-9.
Jimmy's 25-9. Okay. You're 24-10. I'm 21-13.
There it is.
We only have 10 this week. It's not a great week for college football. We'll have 12 next week. It is a great week. Missouri-Boston College. It's in Chestnut Hill.
Missouri.
M-I-Z.
I'm going to Missouri as well. I think Boston College is looking ahead to Clemson.
Z-O-U. Boston College. Clemson, North Carolina State. This game's at North Carolina State. North Carolina State has its moments. Clemson's offense looks a little bad.
Yeah, Clemson could use a few moments. I still go Clemson. The talent's just too much.
Clemson. Sam's trying to sway here again.
He is.
Clemson. Texas A&M, Arkansas. I think this is always played in Arlington, so it's a neutral site game. Both undefeated, both in the SEC.
Texas A&M. I'm not sure Arkansas should be ranked. That's my take.
Fair enough.
I'm with you. The Colorado win was a little concerning, but A&M.
Arkansas.
Oh.
Iowa State at Baylor.
Iowa State.
Yeah, I'll go Iowa State, too.
I'll take the boys from Ames. Rutgers at Michigan. Everyone Michigan on this one?
Yeah. It was a great game last year.
It was.
Noah Vedral almost pulled it out.
This is not a game for those who enjoy aesthetically pleasing football.
Illinois at Purdue.
Somebody's got to win. Let's go Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue. Illinois, it blows my mind knowing what I know now that Nebraska lost to Illinois. That team is so bad. Purdue. I don't know if I said that yet, but Purdue.
Purdue.
He wants to.
You going Illinois there, Sam?
Illinois.
Oh, my. Look at this guy. Giving us one back.
Tennessee at Florida.
It's Florida.
Is there an Alabama hangover?
Evan's got a look in his eye.
No, there's no hangover. Yeah.
There's a gleam, man.
Florida.
Kansas State, Oklahoma State.
This is fun.
Tight. Fun. They've had good games in recent years.
Oklahoma State's, I think, like an 8 or 9 point favorite in this game I saw.
I know.
That seems high to me.
K-State's ranked, too.
Seems high to me.
It does.
Oklahoma State, we were watching Oklahoma State, Boise State from Wichita, a BJ's Brewhouse in Wichita. Yeah. Shout out Tom Chattel for the restaurant wreck. And I believe Oklahoma State's quarterback had completed 2 passes midway through the third quarter. That is concerning to me. So I'm going Kansas State.
Jimmy's going with the Jimmies. Okie State for me.
Okie State. Notre Dame, Wisconsin, the Brat Bowl.
I'm going
at Notre Dame. I'm sorry, it's at Soldier Field.
Jack Cohn revenge game. Go Notre Dame.
Kind of is. Game.
Boy. I'm going to go Wisconsin.
Ooh.
I think Notre Dame showed some holes. I mean, Wisconsin has too, but give me the Badgers.
Notre Dame. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. I think Notre Dame has played more good teams, and they played more football.
True.
This is their fourth game. It's Wisconsin's third. Wisconsin played a really overmatched Eastern Michigan team. Notre Dame's played several good teams in a row, or at least power conference teams.
I also think the disaster potential with the Wisconsin offense is high.
I agree. They've already had a few.
Yeah.
Nebraska at Michigan State. Ooh. I've already said I'll take Nebraska.
I'm going Michigan State. I just think Michigan State's going to be able to pop too many runs. I think that Nebraska's defense is going to get tired. The thing about those mistakes that we were talking about, there's a thin margin for error against this kind of running attack. When you make the mistakes, they compound upon themselves because you're on the field longer and then you get tired and it's hard to fire off the ball the same way. I think Michigan State wears them down.
It's such a coin flip game. I'm going to go Michigan State if for no other reason than what we were talking about before. I don't think I can pick this to be the biggest win that Scott Frost has had to end a streak of, 13 straight losses.
This means you're picking them to beat Michigan, by the way.
Well, there you go. Yeah. 13
we worked you into a
straight
corner
losses
there.
Against top 25 opponents since they beat Michigan State the last time, by the way. I think it's – I just got to see it. It feels like a show-me type game. Nebraska hasn't shown it. Michigan State in a close one. I'm sure I could be wrong.
That could be two albums, Show Me and Run Poppin'. That'd be good.
Tell us. Why are they going to win?
Oh, I think it's going to be a close game. I think Nebraska can put 24 on the board. I think Michigan State probably hasn't faced a team with as much dynamism as Nebraska can have on offense. Northwestern certainly wasn't. And Miami is a very, very quarterback, very, very quarterback-centric team, even more than Nebraska. He does almost everything, and they don't run the ball very well, and they don't have what I would call really good offensive minds there. So I just think Nebraska's ready. I think they're going to win it 24-21. Tight game, good game. I think Nebraska gets a break. I don't know what it is, but They find a way.
We thinking game-winning drive?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean a break. They're going to get, you know, I don't know, a pick six.
I was just asking more about a fumble. The score. Close score.
I think a game-winning drive is possible. They get up 10 and they hold on is possible too.
Well, it's going to be a late one. Night game. We haven't had one of those in a while. Not since Rutgers last year.
Yeah, it was unforgettable.
So get your food in early, everybody. Get your caffeine. Stay up late, and maybe celebrate.
Maybe
we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Caffeine. That's what people will be drinking.
Yeah. Thanks for watching, guys. Enjoy the game.